listening to The Hookup and everything else about relationships with DJ Cabaret.
Hey, what's up, you guys? You're listening to The Hookup and everything else about relationships here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. I'm DJ Cabaret. Alrighty, I hope you guys have been doing well this week. I know that I'm doing all right here at the radio station. And I want to let you know that this week I will be talking about lying in relationships as promised by last week. And that's what, you know, you and your significant other in whatever kind of relationship you're in may or may not do in the relationship. And as always, you can text in your thoughts and your ideas to me. The number is 415-570-2969. I want to hear what you guys have to say. And remember, you will remain completely anonymous if you choose to. And I will share your thoughts and your opinions here on the radio. So if you want to get some stories up here, just give me a text and I will share them here on the show today. And I hate to admit this, you guys, but sharing, uncovering stories and, you know, sharing what people have lied about in the past is honestly something I super like to do. I think that hearing what people have done in the past makes people, you know, a little more comfortable and understand a little bit more about, you know, what you might do and your reactions and that you're not crazy because everybody lies at one point or another. So I just love uncovering this kind of stuff. I'm sorry if I get really excited about doing it, but it's all part of the fun. So enough about me being a little bit too skeevy. Let's get to it. Lying in relationships. I don't know about you, but I think that that's just a bad idea in general. I think that it always comes back to bite you in the butt, even if it's just a small white lie, especially if you've been with someone for a long time or they were your friend first or whatever it might be. It's super destructive. It really harms you as well as whomever you're lying to. And if you've been lied to, you know how hard it is to trust someone again if you've been lied to or you're the one lying to someone. It's hard to not feel guilty, especially if you're the one lying, and especially if you really care about the person that you're lying to. Many people believe and follow through with the mindset that once someone lies, they're bound to do it again. So if someone has lied to you in the past, you're probably going to, you know, second guess what someone says to you if they've lied to you. And that's a totally normal, natural thing for you to do, is to second guess if someone's being honest. And this mistrust in a relationship can make both of the people in the relationship more wary to continue to be honest and open with one another later in the relationship. And I think that even if it is just a little white lie, you know, there's a lot of mistrust that can occur. And I believe that most people want to have a healthy, truthful, open relationship. But unfortunately, it doesn't always end up that way. If you lie about your being fine, and you lie about what you want for dinner, and you lie if your partner looks good at what you're wearing to dinner, how can you expect them to be honest with you in return? Now, let me be honest with you. I believe that a lot of people lie because they think their significant other doesn't want to hear the truth. So if you agree, I would hope you agree. I think that that's just a normal thing, is you say something because you want the other person to be happy, or you don't want them to be upset, or whatever it might be. I think that saying a lie because you don't want the other person to hear the truth or get upset, that's a natural thing. And I think if I told my boyfriend that I don't like the shirt he's wearing, or whatever it might be, I don't like the way he, you know, did his hair or the pants he just bought, then he probably won't want to do that again. So if he, you know, it's a shirt he's wearing, he probably won't want to wear that shirt anymore. And he won't be inclined to ask me again the next time if I like the shirt he's wearing, or he won't ask me for my opinion or my help on anything. And when in a relationship, you really do need to be able to have that open conversation with someone and be able to trust what they're saying and want to hear what they're saying. And I think that if you are able to be open with someone and you want to ask for their opinion, you want to hear what they have to say, then it will be a lot easier for both people in the relationship. But I have personally realized that if I'm honest with him, I tell him exactly how I'm feeling or I think, you know, he will be more inclined to ask me. Now, for me, that's a good thing. I like being able to talk with my boyfriend and have that open conversation. For some people, that might not be the truth. They might not want to have the be the one who's questioned. So they might just, you know, lie or shut down or whatever it might be. But in my case, I think that my boyfriend knows that I'm being honest with him, because if I'm honest with him the first time or the second time, and he doesn't have to ask twice ever again, he doesn't have to guess if I'm telling the truth or if I'm lying to him. He just knows that I want him to trust me and that I trust him and that what I'm telling him is the truth. And if you think you can do this, then, you know, the rest of your relationship will go so much smoother. It'll be easier for the two of you and you'll be a lot more comfortable in what you say and what you do around one another. However, with all of that being said, in retrospect, looking back at the beginning of a relationship, people do tend to lie a lot more often. And you want to get the other person to like you, so you say little lies, I guess, to make yourself seem more impressive or whatever it might be, whatever you're trying to get the other person to believe. And I don't think that not one of you have not done this. I think that everybody at least once has said something or emphasized something or exaggerated a little bit just to make yourself seem a little more impressive to someone that you may or may not date in the upcoming future. Or if you're dating them and you say something just to make yourself seem a little bit cooler or whatever it might be. I think everybody has a natural instinct to want to do this. And, you know, at least you've probably seen someone do it to you if you personally have never done this. So if you have any stories on that, please text me and let me know. The number is 415-570-2969. I really do want to hear what you guys have to say. Alrighty. So let me get into some of the science that's behind all of this. So according to Leonard Sachs, a PhD, who has a PhD, and he's a polygraph expert and a professor at the psychology Brandeis University, he states that lying has long been a part of everyday life. We couldn't get through a day without being deceptive. And up until recently, lying was pretty much ignored by psychologists, leaving it out of some pretty intense and serious discussions, and putting it in the hands of just esthetician theologians. So when I was reading this, I thought maybe up until recently, people haven't lied as much as they do today. Maybe it's a growing revolution and that's why psychologists are talking about it now. And they're seeing why the lying has progressed. So that was a guess I had. I don't know what you guys might think. So in relation to this, Bella DiPaolo, also a PhD and a psychologist from the University of Virginia, did quite a lot of research on lying. And she found that most people lie once or twice a day. Now, for some people, that's more times than you brush your teeth in a day. And she also found that men and women lie in approximately 1/5 of their social exchanges lasting 10 minutes or more. So if you do the math, that adds up. It's quite a lot of lying in your life. So I guess over the course of a week, on average, people lie in about 30% of their conversations with people they interact with one-on-one. That's 30% of the time someone could be lying to you or you could be lying. And that's just average people, right? So DiPaolo did some further research and she looked into who lied the most to one another. And she was looking at general lies and smaller lies. And as you might have guessed, the relationship between parents and kids has more deception than any other relationship. So she says that 1 out of 2 conversations college kids have with their mothers or fathers, they lie. And to be fair, I think this is probably because of what we were talking about earlier, that they don't want their mom to know the truth. They don't want them to get upset or worried or whatever it might be. So just lying and saying something small, it makes, you know, both ends of the relationship feel a little bit more comfortable. And, you know, I understand that. I'll give them that. Now, what they were saying is this isn't just the mom I'm fine comment. Because DiPaolo did not qualify that as a lie in her study. She states that an official lie actually misleads and deliberately conveys a false impression. So complimenting a friend's awful haircut, or, you know, saying to someone that you already sent their birthday card in the mail, those are real lies. She was not saying, "Mom, I'm fine," because that could be up to interpretation. So one out of two conversations a college kid has with their mother, they're much more likely to lie on a more grand scheme. Alrighty. So let me get into lying in relationships, which is kind of what we're getting to here. So you might think that you would, you know, you never want to lie to the one person you love, right? I mean, that's what I think, but actually, that's wrong. There are even books written on this. For instance, there's a book called 101 Lies to Tell to Women by Dori Hollander, who's also a PhD. And she states that she believes the number one biggest lie in a relationship is "I'll call you." And I think that's pretty true. And I'm a girl. I've heard this quite a few times. And honestly, at this point, I would think that after maybe even the first or second time of someone not calling, whether it be to you or to your best friend, you need to kind of anticipate that if someone says, "I'll call you," there's a high probability that they probably won't. So, you know, this is something that people say when they aren't sure if they want to get into something, but they want you to want more. So I guess I should give some credit where credit is due. That is a good way to make someone want more of you to an extent. And, you know, they're tied off on a string, and they're just waiting for you to call or text or whatever you said you're going to do. And when you don't do it, it kind of makes them want more initially. But I'll also admit that it kind of makes them hate you a little bit. So if you're saying this lie, just keep this in mind. They're mostly mad for you not wanting to call them. They're not mad. They're not upset that you're not calling, because that is an initial upset, but they're more upset that you don't want to call them. So I would just keep that in mind when you're trying to get someone to want you by playing tough to get. All right, so in a 1990 study on relationships and lying, 85% of couples interviewed report that one or both partners had lied about past relationships or recent indiscretions. So DiPaolo found out that dating couples lie to each other in about 1/3 of their interactions. And perhaps even more often than they deceive, this is more than they deceive other people. And, you know, this is way more than the theory that I originally thought, that you would never want to lie to someone that you love. But you do this 3 more times as often than you would lie to someone else, just an average person, a random person, and only one last time than you lie to your mom. So I think that's totally crazy. I think that, you know, lying in relationships shouldn't happen, but it's super common and it happens fairly often. I mean, it happens in 1/3 of the conversations you have when you're just dating, and 85% of people report that, you know, they have lied about their past relationships. That is so insane. So for some unknown reason, DiPaolo said that marriage seems to remedy some of the deception and lying. Only about 10% of the time. So now spouses lie to each other in only about 10% of their major conversations. So that sounds great, right? Kind of only 10%, but that 10% just refers to the typical minor lies of everyday life. So I guess when you go from dating to marriage, there's less of an inclination to lie about smaller things or more, you know, minor lies that you might say. So, DiPaolo also began looking into the less frequent, bigger lies that involve, you know, deep betrayals of trust and big issues that happen in relationship. And she found that a big majority of those betrayals of trust occur between people in intimate relationships. And she says that, quote, "You save your really big lies for the person that you're closest to." And I think that's pretty sad. I think that if you're in a relationship and you're, you know, lying your biggest lies to someone that you want to spend your life with, I think that that's, you know, that hurts, right? So I don't know why we do this. It's, you know, probably for the same reason that you tell your mom you aren't drinking and smoking in college, and you want them to be happy and, you don't want them to worry and you don't want to hurt them. And you think that lying to them might cover up the truth and you both will be better off in the long run. And I mean, I told you, I think that you should never lie to your partner. And I mean, we'll have to see how real that is. Let me know what you guys think. You guys can text me, I told you, with your thoughts and stories. The number's 415-570-2969. And I think this could get a little bit interesting, don't you guys? I think that if we uncover some lies, there could be some interesting stuff to talk about. We will be right back here on Penguin Radio. You're listening to The Hookup with DJ Cabaret.
You're listening to The Hookup, and we'll be right back here on Penguin Radio.
Whatever's happening here, just knock it off.
You're listening to Penguin Radio.
You're listening to your weekly Bosco Break, and I've got your update of Dominican soccer. Saturday's match at University Hawaii Hilo certainly did not go the way Dominican University of California's women's soccer team was hoping for in a 2-1 loss. The Penguins, looking to keep the momentum and in the hunt in the Pac West standings, played a scoreless first half with the Vulcans. Dominican struck first in the 60th minute on freshman Lily DeBook's third goal of the season. However, UH Hilo answered shortly after in the 65th minute. The Vulcans found the back of the net for the game winner in the 83rd minute on a goal from Nicole Raskin. The Penguins were also dealt a blow for their next match at Hawaii Pacific on Monday, October 19th. Freshman Kira Dagi was issued a yellow card in the 87th minute and a second yellow when she was caught on a counterattack in the final minute. Two yellow cards result in a red, meaning Dagi will have to sit out the Penguins' next match. The match versus Hawaii Pacific is slated for 12:30 p.m. in Hawaii. As for the men's soccer team, their struggles continued in Hawaii on Saturday as the Penguins fell 3-0 at University Hawaii Hilo. The Vulcans scored twice in the first half on goals in the 33rd and 38th minute. Dominican was limited to 5 shots, 2 on goal. Sophomore Chase Gollard's shot in the 6th minute was saved, as was juniors Roberto Macias' header in the 33rd. Redshirt freshman Oscar Ocon made 4 saves but took the loss. Dominican continues to play Monday, October 19th at 3 p.m. versus Hawaii Pacific. That's the end of your Bosco Break. Tune in next week.
Thank you for staying with us during that break. You're listening to The Hookup with DJ Cabaret here on Penguin Radio.
Hey, what's up, you guys? Thanks for staying with me through that break. You're listening to Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. So we've been talking about lying in relationships a little bit, and I was kind of, you know, I was looking at some, you know, some of the lying that we were talking about and some of the things that happen when you're lying in a relationship. And I think that it's hard when you get lied to in a relationship. It's hard to be able to trust someone again. We were talking about that. I think it's also really hard to be able to talk to someone honestly and be able to be with them if you believe they've lied to you or you know they've lied to you. And for people who have been lied to in relationships, remember that you guys can text me if you have any stories. The number is 415-570-2969. And I want to hear what you guys have to say. I think that it'll be a lot more interesting if you guys have some things to say about this. Just hold on one moment here. Sorry about that, you guys. There was a little bit of a technical difficulty here in the studio. But anyway, so I was just wanting to let you guys know that I think that it's hard, and I know that I've been lied to in many relationships. Even if it's small white lies, I think that it's hard for people to get back on the horse or be able to talk with their significant other again in such an honest way. And it's hard to build back that trust. And if you are able to do it, I commend you. I think that it's something that people try to do. They strive to do it often. And it's something that if you can do it, your relationship, I believe, will be stronger in the end. So I know that it's not nice to think about the ones that you love lying to you. It's not nice to think that it'll be easy to, you know, forgive them. And even though no matter how much you love them, it's never easy to forgive someone after lying. And I think that, you know, when I think about it, I get sick and it makes me feel horrible. And I think that there's lying everywhere all the time between kids and parents and teachers and students. And I think that if you don't have a trustworthy relationship that you can look to for some clarity, then it's hard to, you know, find anyone that you can trust. I honestly trust my boyfriend more than I trust a lot of people. And, you know, I mean, it sucks to be lied to. It really does. And I lie to my boyfriend sometimes, but I don't think I've lied to him significantly, other than something saying, you know, no, I didn't drink a Starbucks today, even though I did, or whatever it might be. I still feel bad. I want to impress him, and it hurts me seeing him disappointed in me. So personally, recently, I let my boyfriend ask me a bunch of times, you know, to make me tell him the truth. I want to make sure that I'm as honest with him as I can be, and that he's as honest with me as he can be. And for that to take place, I feel like, you know, I had to make sure that there was, there was no lying in our relationship, or there was no big lies in our relationship. And even if it might seem harmless, like not telling him I had gotten a Starbucks or whatever it might be, I wanted to take those out of our relationship. And I believe that that would, you know, make us a lot stronger, but that's just me. So I think that in order to have a successful relationship, you need to be open and understanding of what your partner wants or needs and work with them on that. And I think that, you know, I believe that to be able to get ahead in a relationship and move on together, you need to be able to know each other inside and out. And I think that to have a good, strong relationship, you need to be able to trust each other and know a lot about each other. And, you know, you need to know their weird little things, and you need to know them honestly, know who they really are, not just what they want you to know. You know what I mean? But really, in order to do this, you need to be honest with your partner. I think that I think this is needed, and I've mentioned it before, but having that open dialogue and talking about how you feel and not lying is going to make your relationship so much better in the long run. And our desire to have a husband or a wife or a boyfriend or a girlfriend or whatever your relationship might be, your desire to have them understand who we are and where you're coming from is driven by emotions. And Reese and Shaver, who have done many studies on relationships and lying, say that we have a fundamental need to be understood, to have someone know us, get us, and understand us. And these feelings drive us to, you know, tell our partners the truth. Now, this can get super complicated, and if you're in a relationship and you're feeling like you haven't shared enough or you want to be able to share more. I know that there are many people, especially if you're hooking up or you're friends with benefits or, you know, just sleeping with someone, where it's hard to get as close as you want, and it's even harder to fill that need to be understood and have someone know who we really are if you're just hooking up with someone. And it's, you know, you need someone who knows who you are completely. Now, I think that the real question is, how could you get someone to be so honest with you besides, you know, actually being honest with someone, and which makes them trust you more, and what we've already talked about. But so before I kind of tell you how to get your partner to tell the truth, and I think that you need to know why people lie, and usually what their motive is. Now, we already talked about, you know, wanting to impress someone and wanting them to know what wanting them to know what you want them to know. And so another thing that people usually do, lying to and deceiving someone, is usually because of fear. And if you're afraid of rejection or judgment, then you're way more likely to lie. Now, if you think about it, fear is kind of a form of protection, right? Say you're afraid of heights. It's probably because your instinct is you don't want to fall because you might die. And in fact, we claim to lie out of kindness just to protect another's feelings or your own feelings. So this fear is often, you know, in your lies, and it's usually just in the background, sometimes even subconsciously. You might just not know that you're lying because of fear. So for instance, if you're asked the question, does this dress look good on me? Most men are programmed to say yes because they don't want to hurt your feelings. And it saves them from the hurts and the struggles that would come as backlash. So, you know, that's kind of them being afraid of whatever might come next if they say something that they think you don't want to hear. So I have some tips for you for when you want to, you know, make sure that your partner, regardless of their relationship status, is not lying to you. And yes, I will admit that some of these might seem like you're kind of planning something, or that you're being skeevy or whatever it might be, but just think about, you know, what it would be like to be on the other end of this. So honestly, you know, before I wanted to share these with you, I kind of had to think about it and see what would be comfortable for me if someone did it to me. And I think that if someone was doing this to me and it was not out of the ordinary for them to act this way, I think that it's something that I actually would be a lot more comfortable if this was done towards me. So that's just my opinion. That's why I wanted to share it with you. And just remember that you aren't planning anything. You're leaving the option to be more open for them. So if you feel like you're being mysterious or skeevy, just remember that you are actually leaving them the option to be more open and honest with you. So here's just a quick little list I got for you. So the first thing that you should do is limit your use of questions. So this will make it so much easier for you and your partner to be candid with each other and honest. And if you're able to do this, I think that if you can limit the questions, then it'll be a lot easier for someone to tell you the truth. So if you ask, who are you with, or where were you, or why are you home so late, your partner will be very hesitant to answer because they think that you don't trust them or whatever it might be. And they want to be trusted, and they want you to believe them, and they want to be comfortable. And if you ask them a whole bunch of questions, like where have you been or why are you here so late, they feel less in control, and therefore they're a lot less likely to answer you. And also, it's a natural human instinct to want to be kind to someone who's kind to you. So if you naturally explain what you did with the day and who you are with and whatever might come up, it's quite likely that your partner or whoever you're speaking to will do the same. So if you're asking them a bunch of questions, it makes you, your partner put their guard up and it makes them not want to talk to you, and it will definitely bring out more lies. And this has a big possibility of creating more mistrust in a situation, and you both will be a lot more upset later, especially if one of the answers that you get to one of those questions is something you did not want to hear. So that actually leads me right into the second item on our list, which is react calmly to unwanted information. So that, I believe, is kind of hard for some people. I think that this is probably one of the hardest things actually on our list. And, you know, now think about it. If you freak out and you're yelling and you're crying and you're getting upset because you received information that you didn't originally want to hear or you weren't planning on hearing, then it's going to be, you know, you're essentially pushing your partner to tell the truth. You're essentially, you know, pushing them further and further from, you know, wanting to do this ever again because you're freaking out. And it makes sense that they wouldn't want to do it again if your reaction is always going to be yelling and being very upset. And remember, it's totally okay for you to be upset about whatever you hear, whatever the information was, no matter what they were saying. It is important for you to feel the emotions of being upset. And if you just remember that when you get the information, if you calmly react to it and notice that you're upset, and you can get upset about it to yourself at a later time, then it will be much better for you and your partner. And if you react calmly, then they're more likely to want to tell you the truth at a future time as well. So just remember that you want to react calmly to unwanted information. All right, the third thing we have here for a way to make your partner want to tell you the truth more often is use empathy. And I think this is a big one, especially in relationships. I think that, you know, people want to be understood, and they're more willing to, you know, for you to understand their point of view. They'll be more willing to open up to you if you are more empathetic towards what they're saying. And I think this is super true. I think that if someone is opening up to you, it shows a lot of trust. And if you can relate to them in one way or another, whether it be big or small, and you just show them that you care, they'll want to keep explaining what they're feeling and what's going on in their life. And as humans, I think that, you know, we trust someone who has the ability to see something from their from our perspective. So if you tell someone that you're in a relationship and your boyfriend is, you know, going out every night and not coming back and he doesn't tell you where you are, if you are able to be in their shoes and say, wow, that must, you know, really hurt you, and have you spoken to him, and be able to be in their position for a moment, they're very safe and comfortable talking to you. And it just makes them feel more, you know, able to talk to someone who understands them. Even if that person does not necessarily agree, if they just state that they understand and they know what's going on, then it makes a much more open flow of conversation. So just remember, using empathy is a big one. All right, so we kind of already talked about this fourth one here, but I'll kind of reiterate it just because I believe it's really, really important. So building trust with someone, and having a good reputation with your partner, it makes it so much easier for them to be honest with you. And if you lie to your partner and you continuously say things that aren't true, or you keep things from them and you don't let them into your life, then this is the hardest thing to try to get them to be honest with you. If you're hiding things from them, they're probably hiding things from you. And, you know, have you realized that if someone has lied to you in the past or deceived you in some way or another, it's a lot easier to do the same to them? It's almost like some sort of revenge in some way, that you want to keep something from them if they're keeping something from you. So building trust in a relationship, I think, is super, super important. And being able to be honest with someone, makes it easier for both of you in the relationship to talk openly and honestly with each other later. Alrighty, so we have a couple more here on our list. So another thing that will, you know, build honesty and trust in the relationship is balancing power. So this is a little difficult for some people. And if you're in a relationship where one person makes all the decisions and choices, then it's hard for the other person to be honest with them. So if you're the less powerful one in the relationship, let's say, why would you want to disrupt the order of things? You're in the relationship, you have zero control, then what would be the benefit of telling the truth? The other person would still always have the final word. So if you balance out the power in the relationship a little bit, I think it'll be easier for both people in the relationship to tell the truth. And telling the truth is always important, and it creates a much easier relationship. So if you balance the power out in your relationship, both people feel like they have power and they feel like they have a voice, and then they want to be honest. And I think that if you do that, then it'll be something that you both can play off each other with. And that's super great. I love being able to do that, is playing off someone else's energy and their power, and without getting out of hand. I think that it enhances the relationship tremendously. Okay, so another thing we have on our list is to bluff. Now, I hate to say that this works, but it does sometimes. Sometimes, I'll emphasize that a couple times. And I will make clear that this does not always work. If you act like you know what's going on, then the person who's lying to you is more likely to come clean. Now, people never like to get caught in a lie. So if they think you already know what's going on, they're a lot more likely to tell you the whole story, and you don't have to guess and fill in the gaps. But saying that this is something that will work, I should also warn you that this has a super, super high risk. And if you get caught in your bluff, now you're the one who's lying, which makes the whole situation worse. It goes back to the mistrust thing, where your partner won't want to talk about anything with you anymore, and they feel like they can't come to you about anything in the relationship, and they'll need to think about it first, which nobody should have to do in a relationship. You should be able to go to the person you love and share with them what's going on. So I'm going to be real with you right now. I think that the most important step in all of this is forgiving someone. And I think that if you have lied to someone in the past, you have to forgive them. And it's hard, especially if it's something that really hurt you for whatever reason it might be. I think that if you are able to forgive someone, you know, you'll be able, both of you, to move past whatever it was. And if you bring up the past in arguments and you feel like the past is a main issue, then you've not forgiven the person. And for your significant other to believe you and trust you and not lie to you anymore, then you need to forgive them for whatever happened before. And that will drastically, you know, help your partner speak with you and help you in the relationship with one another. And I think that'll really help. So those are some suggestions I have for you guys. I will quickly recap them so you remember. So the first thing that you should do if you want your significant other to be more honest with you in a relationship is, number one, limit your use of questions. Number two, react calmly. Number three, use empathy. Number four, build trust. Number five, balance power. Number six, bluff, but cautiously. And number seven is to forgive someone. All right. So let me just point out that not all of these are always going to work if you follow these suggestions. And if there are some serious situations or issues going on in your relationship, or something large that, you know, your partner's keeping from you, such as cheating on you, you know, they're bound to lie pretty much no matter what, unfortunately. And I will talk about cheating next week on my show, The Hookup, and everything else about relationships. But for now, I'm just going to take a quick short break here. So stick tight, and I will be here when you get back.
tuned for more stories and gossip here on The Hookup with DJ Cabaret.
Hey guys, you ready to let the dogs out?
What?
Do what? Yes, Alan, we are ready to let the dogs out.
Thank you.
Let the dogs out!
Radio.dominican.edu.
Through my blood, tell me, is this where I give it up?
staying with us during that break. You're listening to The Hookup with DJ Cabaret here on Penguin Radio.
Hey, what's up, you guys? Thanks for staying with us during that break. You're listening to The Hookup and everything else about relationships here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. So we've been talking about lying, which I know is a super hard topic, and I'm going to be honest, I think that it's hard to admit and it's hard to face it, but let's be real, I don't think that anybody wants to be lied to, and they don't want to lie, but apparently that happens pretty often, a lot more than I anticipated, especially in relationships, which is sad to think about. And I think that there are some ways to see if someone's lying to you, but I also wanted to see what some people said online and what some of you guys said. So first, according to Bustle.com, there are some tell-alls for those who are lying to you. So I have a little list of things there for what, you know, someone might be doing if they're lying to you. So the first thing that I you know, realize that they might do if they're lying to you is they might be speaking in a weird, formal, distant way. And that could be a pretty big red flag if they are talking as if they're, you know, not part of the situation or they're being really formal. You might want to, you know, watch out for that. And, you know, not all of these things are going to say that they are lying to you, but if someone drastically changes or starts doing something differently, then you might want to watch out for that. So this is just a little heads up, not saying that they are lying, just something to look out for. So another thing is if when they're talking to you, if they vary their voice drastically or if they freak out or have an emotional flare up or whatever, that could mean that they're lying to you. So if you're in the middle of talking to someone and you say, hey, did you go out to lunch with, you know, the guys from work or whatever it might be, and the response is something like, what? No, absolutely. I would never do that. I think that that shows, you know, a lot of mistrust in that, you know, it's them trying to cover up a lie. And I think if you can be able to do something where you're not doing that, it will make it a lot easier. And if you see someone doing that, just take note of it and understand that that might be a red flag. So just watch out for that. Also, taking a long time to respond to a question could be another way that someone's lying to you, or this could be a show that they might be lying to you. And this might mean that they're devising a way to say their response so that they won't get caught or that you won't suspect anything. So in addition to this, taking a long time, if they overcomplicate a simple answer to a question, that also might mean that they are fabricating the truth, and they might be working really hard to cover up their lie. So this might, you know, look like or sound like someone saying, you know, you asking, oh, what'd you do for lunch? And they give you some very long, complex answer, and you get like 150 details that you didn't initially need or want. So that's something that if they start doing that, don't automatically suspect that they're lying, but do, you know, keep your eyes open and be aware of what's going on. So another thing that they might do is change the subject, or they might even avoid the subject entirely. So that might mean that they might not want to talk to you about it because, in fact, they don't want to lie to you. Or they might not think that they're, you know, a good enough liar to keep it from you. So they're just avoiding the subject or conversation. And in relation to that, if they start talking about something else entirely and they give you a lot of details about that other thing that you really didn't need to know about, then that's them basically telling you that they're horrible at lying and they need to cover it up in some way. And they're not quite sure how to do it. So I would watch out for that as well. Personally, I've never run into an encounter with that, but I would say that it would be a little bit difficult if someone, you know, jumped ship on a conversation and started talking about a bunch of random stuff, and, you know, you realize that your initial question was never answered. That might get me a little wary. So something else that I always thought was interesting is when someone lies to you, but their body tells you something different. Like, when someone nods at you when they're disagreeing. I think that it's interesting that some people do that, where you might ask them, hey, did you enjoy dinner last night? And they're nodding their head yes, but they're like, oh no, I really didn't have that much fun. It kind of indicates that their body is saying one thing and their mouth is saying something else. So that's always something to look out for. Sometimes it's just interesting that people, you know, don't want to say exactly how they're feeling, so they kind of fabricate it a little bit. So I would watch out for that. And the last thing that I would say that might indicate that someone's lying to you is someone leaving the conversation and not wanting to talk about it. And that could be because they're so offended that you found out about whatever they're lying about that they don't know what to do next. And they're trying to act mad, but internally they're also trying to figure out what the next course of action would be. So if someone leaves the conversation entirely when you bring something up, I would just be wary of that and make sure that you kind of understand that that might be a sign of someone lying to you. And I think if you know these things and you know what to look for, it'll be easier for you and your partner to talk about any issues without having to lie to one another. And it scares me that on average, 1 out of 3 conversations you have with your partner, someone is lying. I mean, that's horrible to me. That's just absolutely horrible. And I want to change this if I can. And I think that it can happen for anybody if you try to be more open and understanding of your partner. Then it will be easier for both you and your partner to be able to have conversations openly together and talk out whatever's going on. And it'll be really beneficial for you guys in the long run. So this week has been a little bit of a slow week with some texts from you guys, but I do have a couple of stories I wanted to share. So our first story here is from a 510 number, and she was explaining to me that at the beginning of her relationship with her now current boyfriend, when they were just dating and it wasn't super exclusive and it wasn't very public yet, her boyfriend at the time said that he was going to go away to Los Angeles for 2 weeks. And this was around Christmas time, and she wasn't going to be able to see him for 2 weeks because he was going to be out of town. And what ended up happening was, this was a lie. He was not leaving to go to Los Angeles for 2 weeks. He actually had his ex-girlfriend come and stay with him because apparently his ex-girlfriend had no place to stay when she came to California. So I think that is definitely considered a lie, especially, you know, I said that some people lie, small lies in the beginning of a relationship, but this is something pretty major. I think if this happened to me, I would be very wary of going into the relationship. And I give full props to this 510 number for being able to forgive him and being able to allow him to be someone that she trusts and that he trusts her. I do know that she got a little bit upset with him and definitely said that if he ever lies like that to her again, that she's going to be very upset, and she probably wouldn't stay with him. So that's something that's a big lie. And another thing that I actually got a text about from a 415 number, it was a conversation that is kind of an ongoing conversation for a lot of couples. And I think it's really important to share here before we end the show. I think that regardless of your sexual orientation or who you like or who you don't like, it is important to, be aware of what their limits are, what their boundaries are. So I got a text from someone, and she was saying that a girl that she was seeing was getting jealous because the girl who texted me was hanging out with someone that she originally liked who was a guy. And this shows a lot of insecurity sometimes. I think that there is a fine line, which I've talked about before, between jealousy and, you know, controlling, and what that love isn't jealousy. But, you know, there also is the indication that if someone is jealous, they also are jealous because they want to be the one in the shoes of the person who they're with. So I think that it's hard to kind of indicate that this is that this is a lie, but it definitely is. I think that you know, if you're hanging out with someone, so for instance, if you are hanging out with your ex or someone that you previously liked and you don't tell your partner about it for whatever reason, if they might get jealous or they might get upset, then it is something that, you know, that might be considered a lie to them, which I believe if you keep something from someone, then that is a lie. And I know that that's kind of a hard way to look at it, but I think that if you are able to see that, it's going to be harder in the long run. I don't know. This is a difficult one because there's a lot of people who go through this. And if you're insecure and you get upset that your current significant other is hanging out with someone, then you can't really tell them to not do it because that's not really a good relationship. So I think if you can have that open conversation we were talking about, then it'll be easier for both of you regardless. And it will happen again. There will be other people that your significant other may or may not like or not want you to hang out with. But it's something that you need to be wary of and be aware of. So I just wanted to bring that up with current relationships and them not being happy about past relationships. So that I think is important. And with that, I am going to end my show. And I think the worst lie that you can tell someone is that you're faithful to them and then you find out that, or that they're faithful to you and then you find out that they're cheating on you. And I will be talking about this huge lie next week and what cheating does to people in a relationship. But with that, that's all I got for this week. You've been listening to The Hookup and everything else about relationships with me, DJ Cabaret, here on Penguin Radio every Tuesday at 1:00. This is radio.dominican.edu. I'll see you here next week.